Would you turn, please, now in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Bless, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow before him now, please, in prayer. Father, we give thanks for a sense of thy presence with us now this morning, being able to sing these tremendous hymns, being confronted with the truth of Scripture. And we pray, Lord, that that word will rest in every heart. Lord, perhaps there is someone here today and they are not saved. They have never been born again by the Spirit of God. I pray that this would be the beginning of days for them. They would come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who are truly saved, that we might praise and worship thee with all our hearts because of what we have received. And we know that there is no condemnation against us because of what our Savior has done on our account. Help us to rest firmly and fully and completely in that finished work of Calvary. Lord, bless us now this morning and bless thy holy word to every heart. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some verses present themselves to us in the Bible as being giants. They are mountain peaks. And certainly verse 7 of Ephesians 1 is one of those verses. For the Apostle Paul said, by the direction of God's Spirit, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, today already we have been talking to the children about the fact that sins cannot be paid for in any other way but by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You today, my friend, cannot know redemption unless you know it through the work that Jesus has done for you. You know, before each one of us were saved, we were held captive by the devil in the slave market of our sin. We are sold out to the world, the flesh and the devil, a slave to the bondage that Satan had brought upon us. And as a slave, we need to be freed from that bondage. And the only way you and I could be freed from such bondage would be for a purchase to be made, that we would have deliverance. Someone must redeem our souls unto himself. It is my prayer that sinners will be saved today. I pray that those who perhaps are walking afar off from God would be drawn back to him and restored to faithful fellowship with the Lord, and to be brought to the heights of service for Christ. That is the prayer, desire of my heart. I hope it is yours today as well, believer. That you, if an unbeliever, will be saved from an eternal destruction, and that your life would be devoted to the furtherance of the greatest message that there has ever been proclaimed in the world, that Christ died for sinners. You know, in a general sense, when we think about this word redemption, it means to be set free by the paying of a price. Liberty by payment of a ransom. And you and I today, we owe a debt that we could never pay ourselves. And if it was not for someone coming alongside us to put down that payment and deliver us, we would never have been delivered. In the Bible, the word redemption, it refers to the saving purpose of Jesus Christ. In a particular sense, the deliverance of God's own elect from the state of sin into a state of salvation. So, we have been brought out of darkness of sin and into the light and liberty of the sons and daughters of God. We have been given God's free salvation. And so, redemption means a deliverance from captivity and misery by the payment of a great price. Some modern versions of the Bible, they use the word deliverance here in Ephesians 1 verse 7 as opposed to redemption. And while in a general sense it is true, because you are delivered and I am delivered from the bondage of our sin by the payment of the price, yet there is something that is more important here and full in the use of that word redemption. It speaks about a soul being saved from a lost eternity. And therefore, being redeemed from our sin is the same as being saved from our sin for all eternity. But how? How, my friend, will you obtain this? It's absolutely essential to your soul. If you're here today as a human being, you're here in this meeting, you are a sinner, and you need to know what I'm talking about. You need to know this redemption yourself, because if you are to go out into eternity, if you are to go out and to die and to go out before God without being redeemed, my friend, the cost will be insurmountable for you. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What payment will you make? When you are saved and redeemed by God's grace, a great change happens. A great change happens in the standing that we have before God. He now looks upon us and He sees us as being without condemnation. We are now under the justifying love and grace and mercy of God. We have been taken from being a prisoner to now a free man. And that transformation that has occurred, it's happened in my life. And it's happened to take me from the darkness of my former days into now standing in the light of the glorious liberty of Jesus. I wonder, friend, have you experienced this new birth? Are you saved by the Lord's grace? And so as we think this morning on the subject of redemption, let's ask first of all this question. Where did it come from? Where did this redemption come from? In our verse, verse 7, the very end of it, it says, according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. Was redemption some invention by ancient men? Was it something that came about by superstition from another culture that we have just imbibed? You know, many who are rejectors of God and His Word, they will say the Bible is just something that came to us from another religion, another culture, a former time period. It's just made up of myths and fables that people have put down in writing, and they discount the Bible. But people who generally take that point of view have really never sat down to confront the Scripture for themselves. And they have never sat down to confront the Scripture and to give answer to its claims. Was this redemption the result of the theories of theologians who sat down in church councils and pored over their notes to come up with some fanciful theory as to how a man can get from earth to heaven? No, friend, none of these things are true. Because redemption itself is founded in the depths of the love of God, the depths of His great grace. And it is according to the riches of His grace. You know, the world often has a very tainted view about God. They look upon Him as being an angry, selfish bully, someone who is just waiting to crush sinners. And that's a distorted view of a God who is just and merciful and loving and kind. But you cannot ever divorce the mercy and grace of God, indeed, from His justice. Those things must be viewed in the plurality of all of His attributes. God is just. How just is God? He is so just that sin cannot be ignored. The soul that sins must die. Where do you fit in, friend, today? Because you are a sinner, a soul that has sinned, and therefore you must die. God cannot ignore sin. And when we think about the wondrous and mighty mercy of the Lord in His redemptive grace and power, He has brought that to us. My friend, it is a gift that the Lord has given according to the riches of His grace. How can we describe the riches of God? The Bible talks about the earth being full of the fullness of God. And all of the wealth and riches that it possesses are His because He has made them. But the Lord doesn't count, and we don't count the wealth or the riches of God in some material things of gold or silver and precious things like that. No, in no way. The riches of God are found in Himself, in His perfection, His holiness, the fact that He is the eternal God. And this God who has made all things has come to us, and He has opened the storehouse of His love and grace to us. And He has given to us more and more and more. It is not based upon anything, friend, that you and I could manufacture, because it is according to the riches of God. If someone was to come along and give you a gift, it could be a modest gift, maybe of $50 or more. And you would say, well, they have given me something that is out of their abundance. They have given me something of a gift, and as they have given me their $50, their worth, if you like, has gone down by $50. And you could say they have given you something of their substance. But if someone was to come along to you and say, I am going to give you my bank card, my PIN number, and just go to it. Enjoy. Have everything that you want, as long as there is enough in the account to keep spending, and you were to keep spending, that person would be giving you according to their wealth. Because as soon as you drain the bank account, then you would go into their investments. And then you would drain all their investments, and then you go into their inheritance. And then you drain all the... They have given you everything. If there's no stopping to that, they have given to you according to their riches. When we think about that in the hands of God and what He has blessed us with and what He has given to us, my friend, the great miracle of this is that God has always from the beginning given to us according to... And He has given to us everything He possibly could give us because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when God gave to us His Son, He gave according to His riches and His wealth. He gave us everything He possibly could in order to redeem our sinful souls. Friend, today, have you received that gift? Have you opened your heart by the grace of God to receive that which He so freely and abundantly has given to you? For out of the infinite riches in Jesus. God gives and He gives and He gives again. And this grace that God has given to us, my dear friend, it is God not giving to us what we deserve. No, it is God blessing us with riches far beyond anything that we could ever have deserved. And today, if you are out of Christ and you don't deserve anything from Him, thank God today He has blessed you with the gospel, the free offer of His Son and forgiveness of sins. And so today, friend, don't wait any longer. Don't hold off, but say, Lord, let me embrace You today and take that blessed gift of redemption. Because Christ has paid for your sins today. So how then, secondly, can we be redeemed? What does this verse tell us about the process? Well, look again. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We have redemption through His blood. That's the how. That's how you and I today can be partakers of God's holiness. That's how we can be partakers of His full and free salvation. It is the work that Jesus did upon the cross. Sometimes, you know, we talk about the work that Jesus did, and people maybe get a bit confused. What does that mean? It means, my friend, that Jesus had the cross before Him from all eternity. It means that He knew that when He was going to come to this sinful, sin-cursed earth, He had one purpose in mind. And the cross was before Him. And He knew He was going to go there to suffer and die, bearing the wrath of God upon Him, that He might redeem to Himself a people. And the Lord Jesus knew that was His mission. The cross of agony and suffering and anguish. The Lord went there and paid a price that you and I could never pay, because He paid the price of His own precious shed blood. Today, friend, do you have any idea what that means? Do we have any comprehension of what it cost the Savior, the Holy One, to bear away our sin? The hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all. It's all to Him that I owe. For sin had left a crimson, a red stain, but He has washed it white as snow. He has washed our sin away today. And that's the reason and the how that we can be converted and saved. We know that death is the penalty for our sin. The soul that sins cannot be with God. It must be separated from Him until a ransom could be paid. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. And we have offended a righteous and a holy God. We have broken His law and His word. We have shattered all of His holy commandments. We need to have someone that's going to represent us. Someone that will be our mediator. Someone that will be a representative to stand before God. And not only to represent us, but the one who will stand before God and actually go in our place to bear the punishment that we should have taken for our own sin in breaking all that law. Now, we know that Christ did not sin. He did not break any of God's laws. And yet the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This debt was to be paid. It had to be paid. Because if Christ does not pay for your sin, my friend, then you will pay for your own sin. And it will be an eternity. It will be separation from God in hell forever and forever. And there will be no more payment. No more coins, nothing in the coffer that would ring to set the soul from purgatory free. No such thing will be done. You'll be lost, my friend. But it does not have to be that way for you, for the Lord has blessed you with an opportunity now in this meeting, in this service. You know, in the Old Testament, when the sacrifice was going to be made, and a person was to bring that sacrifice to Moses or to Aaron, and they would sacrifice that upon the altar. Do you know what the man had to do? The person had to bring that lamb, and he had to place his hands on the head of that animal. That was very symbolic, because by placing the hands of the man who brought the animal to be sacrificed, he was placing his hands there, and there was an imagery or a picture of the transferring of the sins of the man to the animal. And you know what was going to become of that animal? It was going to be sacrificed. Its blood was going to be spilled, and it was going to be burned upon that altar. And that was a picture the Lord was giving to us of the great Lamb of God that would suffer and die in our place. Oh, my friend, there is nothing today that can redeem your soul other than by faith you laying your hands upon the head of Christ. And when you do that by faith, you are transmitting your sins to Him, and He is transferring His righteousness to you. And that glorious transaction is by the grace of God whereby we are redeemed. It's not church membership, you know, that will get you to heaven. Sadly, how many people think that is the case? Many people, when I have talked to them and said, "Well, when were you saved?" They say, "Well, I remember I was baptized on such and such a day." I said, "Well, I didn't ask you when you were baptized." I said, "When did you come to know Christ? When were you saved by His grace?" And a few words might be spoken, but another word would be said, "But I was baptized on a certain day." Because it's so entrenched in the minds of people that they have to do something, and by the act of signing on to church membership or the act of going through the waters of baptism is going to free them from their sins. In no way, my friend, can that happen. It is only by trusting in the finished work of Christ. That's the only answer for your salvation. I was speaking to a man just on Friday. I had to get some tires changed on a vehicle. And so I was in the place where I always go there, and I was talking to this man. I've got to know him quite well over the years. And he sat down for a few minutes beside me. And after the chit-chat was over, and we talked about some issues of life and of the passing years, how quickly they're going. And he told me how old he was, and I said, "Well, think how the last 30 years of your life have gone. Have they not gone like click, 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 10 years at a time?" "And yeah, they have." And I said, "Well, maybe if you live to be 70, you've got 20 more, you've got two more clicks to go, and you're there." I said, What after that?" And you know, this man, a very nice man, we've had very nice talks over the years, and he said, "Well, you know, I really feel that I just, you know, I'm at one with God, and I talked with Him, and I just try to do my best, and I don't try to hurt anybody. I try to give everybody a good deal, and I don't want to rip anybody off." And true, he has been very kind that way. But I said to him, "But you know, all those things that you're telling me, that's not the answer to the question. What will happen to you after you die? What will happen to you when you stand before God? What about your sin?" I said, What about the guilt of your sin? How will you deal with that?" And he just went on to then explain, "Well, I really have been a good person, and I haven't done anybody any harm." And it was going the same old thing. Because that's exactly what most people think. It's by the fact they have not been a bad person, really. They've tried to do some good things. "Oh, yes, I know I've done a few wrong things," he said, But my friend, that's the greatest fallacy of the devil, the greatest lie of the devil, for you to think that by something you have done, or by some good activity you've done, some benevolent work, that you're going to be okay for heaven. No, my friend, you will not be okay for heaven. You must have a personal relationship with Christ. You must know that He died for you, and that you are redeemed by His great redemptive work. It is by, my friend, the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary Because when Jesus shed His blood and He offered that to God, He paid the ransom that we could never pay. He paid the ransom for my sin. So that now I am free. I know there is no condemnation against me anymore because that has been answered. And God looks down upon this sinner here, this one. He looks down upon this sinner today and He says, "You have been saved by my Son's atoning work, and I now see you through my Son." Are you seen by God today, friend, through Christ? Because it's only by that vision that you can have this redemption that the Bible is talking about here. Let me give you one final point briefly. What is the heart of redemption here? What's the real core of it in this verse as we have looked at so far? Let's read it again. It says, "In Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." That's it right there, the forgiveness of sins. That's at the heart of what redemption really is. Buying us back from the slave market of sins and forgiving and cleansing and washing our slate clean. So that when God looks at the book of our life that used to be stained by thousands of sins, what does He see now? He sees each page is pure white. Each page is clean. Each page has been erased. And we have today the forgiveness of our sins. You know, friend, I thank God for that today. Because I look back in my own life and I see a lot of nasty things. I know a lot of things that I have sinned and broken God's law. And you likewise know the same thing. But we have today the forgiveness, the cleansing of all our sins. A debt that has been canceled. A debt that we could never pay. This is the chief blessing of redemption. Because with the knowledge of sins forgiven, heaven could not be closed to us anymore. Do you realize that, friend? If you're saved today, you have a right for heaven. And there's nothing that can keep you out of heaven now. Because if Jesus has paid and you are redeemed by His blood, it doesn't matter what devil tries to close the door of heaven. They are open for you and you have authority to go in based upon the Lord. Sometimes I ask people, like that man I was talking to the other day, when you come to stand before God, what is it that He is going to let you into heaven? Why would He let you into His kingdom? What are you going to say to Him? And usually at that point, people say, "Well, I haven't been too bad. I've tried to do this and all that stuff." The works part comes up so quickly. But you know, the only answer is this. The only reason I am going to be allowed into God's kingdom is because there is no sin against my life. I am clean. I am pure, I am holy, because Jesus has paid it all. And it's all to Him that I owe. And though sin had left that crimson stain, my redemption is a full one. It's absolutely complete. And I can say, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is an absolutely full redemption. It's absolutely free. Free to me. But at great cost to my Savior. And it is forever. Because He cannot take it back. And today, friend, if you are in Christ, then you are secured for time and for all eternity. That should make us think how we are going to live. That should motivate us to say, "Lord, I want to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. My reasonable service, I want, Lord, to live for You. I don't want to sin against You. I don't want to grieve Your Spirit. I want to do everything that will honor and glorify the name of Him who is alone worthy of all. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption for our sins. By His own precious shed blood." Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed today, I want to give you an opportunity as we bring this service to a close now, that if God has been speaking to your heart and you know you're not saved, right where you are sitting, you can call on the Lord Jesus and He will come into your heart and life. Confess your fault, your sin to Him and say, Lord, please save me, I perish. And when you do that, God will hear your prayer. If you need any help, if you want me to sit with you and open the Scripture and show you from His Word how you can know that you are saved by the Lord's grace, and I'd be happy to do that. Wait behind after the service. Talk with me at the door. But don't leave, my friend, until you know that it is well and right with your soul. Father, take this Word today, this powerful Scripture verse, and I pray its truth will be indelibly written on every heart, and that it will not be able to be taken away by the devil as he wants to snatch away the seed of the Scripture from every heart. But Lord, use it over and over again and bring salvation today for the honor and glory of Thy great and holy name. So part us now in Your fear. With much blessing, keep us in the Spirit on Thy day, and help us, Lord, as we come back to the service tonight with prepared hearts. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.